All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I bought another castle.
Aw.
You know, for the...
So, you're the one who outbid me for that castle?
Yeah.
God.
Well, and this is, I mean, I'm sure I bought another castle before as well.
Yeah.
You know, in this
ongoing universe, this continuity. Yeah.
Yeah, the dark universe continuity.
No.
And I got another one.
Okay.
Because
it kind of sucks that you have two and I have none, but okay.
It's okay. You can stay one weekend a year.
I will not.
You can timeshare my castle. But...
Timeshare a turret.
Yeah. So I wanted to. The reason why I got a castle because that is the premier way to get a bunch of empty suits of armor at once.
Yeah. No. It's like getting a lot of them on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if I can lead you to this hall. Lined with empty suits of armor.
Okay.
I fill each empty suit of armor with games and rig them to swing their halberds down as you walk by. And whichever one happens to hit you, that's the game will do.
Can I wear a gauntlet to stop the halberd from hitting me?
It's not going to aim for your hand, but go for it, man. Like, that makes you feel better. Like,
this seems exceedingly dangerous. Are these Nerf halberds?
Some of them might be. I figured I could sell you on it by saying it's like the Resident Evil 4 ghost demo or like the ghost version of it.
Yeah, but then they also put that scene in the actual game and the suits of armor are full of plagas. Yeah, sorry.
There's no plagas here, though, because we couldn't do Resident Evil 4 for this show.
No.
Run. Maybe one of them will clip your heel, you know, as you run across, and then that will be the thing. It doesn't have to be like a major... You know,
yeah. Chicks dig guys with limps.
chicks dig limps. They're cruising for limp, dude.
Yeah,
that's okay. What it means. All I know right. We said that before, and people thought it was gross, but that's what we were referring
but no, now it's good. It's not sad. It's funny.
Yeah, it's not sad. It's funny.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'll just take a stroll. What is it? Careful man dodges the bullets. Happy man takes a walk. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to choose to be happy.
Okay.
All right, and whoa!
There comes power. Whoa! Oh. Good dodge.
Whoa!
Yep, not that one.
Oh yeah, okay. No, that one got me.
Oh, that one got you. Oh
yeah.
Oh, there's the blood.
Yeah, no, it was just real close. It was like an anime cut kind of thing.
Wow. Well,
I mean, like, no, I stepped away and all my clothes fall off. Yeah.
Oh well, okay. Well, now you know, I don't. This castle is actually considered. There's a tour group coming through in just about 30 seconds.
It's a public space. Okay.
It's a public space. So if you're going to be naked,
okay,
you're going to rescind your time. Timeshare. I'm going to restrict you to Crenellation Nation. The theme park up above.
You're gonna have to put me in the murder hole, which is actually just a hole where you murder me. After this I'll go up to the cauldron where they keep the boiling oil. I'll take a little a little jacuzzi,
which in the doodliette.
Yeah. The doodliette.
Yeah, the new Violet.
What game was in that one? What?
It's even hard to read the fucking font on the front of this thing. Like, its impenetrability starts from the jump. It's Knights in the Nightmare.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna have words.
I know what you did. We don't know what you did.
Yeah. So this is Abject Suffering is the name of the show.
Yes, Abject Suffering. Distinct from another show that we do.
Yeah, distinct, warm. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is a show where we play games, and here's the concept of the show.
Okay.
Is we play a game, but the thing is, we do like 6 episodes of the show a month. We can't play the game for very long. We have another show we do where we play the whole game.
Yes.
And we talk about it, and it's pretty serious, and we do criticisms and stuff. There's some jokes in there too, but it's mostly, you know, it's the big boy pants.
Yeah.
This though, we just kind of look into it for like a half hour, like play it for a little bit, look up game facts, try to find people talking about it, and then generally use it as like a prompt.
Yes. Use it as a springboard.
Yeah. What we don't do though is put like I don't know, like, how, what conservatively, like, what do you think the time investment is to get this game?
So I just in looking like at the Wikipedia page, I think that this is shared between the PSP and DS version. It says the game was criticized for having a tutorial even that would take about an hour to play it, an hour long tutorial, which is just like a tutorial mode, not necessarily even like the ramp up of mechanics as they introduce new things.
No, it's not like in the game.
Right.
It's like when you go to the help section or whatever, and it's divided into like beginners, tips, how to. It's like all these things that mean the same thing.
First steps.
Yeah, first step.
And when you click new game, it says, we strongly encourage that you play the...
Yeah, boy do you, because... So this is incomprehensible.
Yeah.
We can't do this game on this show. Like, I did not make any headway in understanding this.
No. I did the first little bit of the tutorial, and it was like, hold down the stylus on this guy to charge an attack and then target it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I know how to attack. That's one of the main things that I needed to do. Went into the mission, saw a bunch of dialogue that I didn't necessarily have any context for. And then remembered, oops, I don't know how to move, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Playing this, it feels like when I was a little kid and when I went over to my uncle's house. My uncle, he really enjoyed playing Civil War sim games on the PC. You know, and I was, it's fun to have things to, you know, to bond over with family members. So I'm like, hey, can I see this? And I'm like 8 years old, and he's sitting me down at this crunchy ass war sim game. And I have no idea what's going on. It gave me big, you know, 8 year old Cole in my uncle's house kind of feelings.
Like me trying to play this at 39 with this time constraint was the same thing as me like trying to play Nobunaga's Ambition on the NES at like 7.
I'm sorry. Can you pronounce that again?
Nobunaga.
Thank you.
Same feeling.
Yes.
You know, and the same thing with your, like Civil War sim on the NES. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff is just like really, really confusing. And I know it's possible to get, and I'm not saying it would never be cool. Like there would be nothing cool about it if I did get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, it's in that big pile of weird DS, incredibly crunchy DS RPG strategy experiences.
Yes.
That are almost all about the fucking world tree.
Mm-hmm.
The world tree is not as cool as you think it is. It's fine.
It's fine.
But like,
the DS version of this, I think actually shipped with unsold copies of Yggdra Union.
Yeah,
this is just the same folks who did this.
Yeah, all part of the series called Department Heaven, which I think is a very funny name.
Hi,
like I love like you know.
Go to floor 7 for Department Heaven.
Department: Heaven. You know, I don't know, Yggdra Union,
Riviera was one of the ones.
Yeah.
Man, when I worked at the game store, like back in the mid 2000s, there was just this older guy who every time he came in, we had regulars, you know, he would just jaw my ear off about Riviera because like he came in, like he had it reserved and he called in every day. Is Riviera out? Is Riviera out? I want to play the Promised Land. Like, no. And then when he did, like, he's like, oh, you like RPGs, huh? Well, you like donuts, huh? Well,
this has like this Gaia game stink to it a little bit, even though it's different, but the same kind of like, just here's a series of 100+ hour, incredibly deep, replayable strategy games that with an anime veneer that I will probably never play.
Yeah.
Like,
I think these will be bad.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's fine. Like it's not, you know, it's good. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a million of them.
But there was a whole like Grand Falloon even of like related like NIS,
Nippon Ichi Software.
Yeah, La Pucelle Tactics, Phantom Brave, etc.
Yeah.
That all felt like they came like, you know, just weirdly out of a content mill.
Yeah.
To satisfy the kind of person who only plays those.
That's kind of what these feel like. Obviously a little connection to like Etrian Odyssey, even though those games are, you know, more apparently more interesting and, you know, have their fans. And I don't think those seem bad. I just, you know, don't want to do any of the things it's asking me to do generally. Like, I always feel like I'm going to get into them. I always feel like there's like a mystery dungeon one I talked about. And I'm like, maybe I'll try that one, but I'm also just not horny for it because it's got weird anime aesthetics. And Will has on his phone, he's recorded voice memos of all the combat orgasms.
Oh, God.
The lady characters have. Yeah. And has played them for me frequently. And I'm like, oh, that sounds horrible. Why? Well, you don't have to make the women come. Like, this isn't a Tomb Raider game. Don't make them come when they get hurt. Like, what are you doing?
Like, so that is extremely ill-advised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a Tomb Raider thing. That's what happens to Lara Croft. Uh-huh. She gets hit by a rebar.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It penetrates her suggestively.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about because they have, like, just to me, very indistinguishable covers because they are, you know, you talked about overusing the world tree, overusing Yggdrasil. Yeah. But all of them kind of have a very similar wispy, you know, Western fantasy done with an Eastern kind of stylistic to it. All of the main characters seem to be barely distinguishable ladies.
Yeah.
You know, so, let's see here. The main characters of this game, Knights of the Nightmare, I hope that this doesn't just make me a gross dude who's angry about women being in games, but you play as the Wisp. That's like your cursor. But the others are Maria, Melissa, Malia, Marietta.
Yeah.
Yes. The distinct people.
I don't think that makes you not like women. I think that it's just, again, in writing.
Yeah.
Don't make a bunch of characters with the same, like, two letters of their first name.
Yeah.
It's lame. The cover of this looks like a little anime, like a Final Fantasy Tactics character, yeah, is wearing a suit made of all the Soul Calibur characters at once.
That is the perfect description for this.
Like every Soul Calibur character, like a quilt. Uh-huh. Soul Calibur quilt.
Yeah. Just all of them are clinging to her like they're John Lennon and she's Yoko Ono.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's a Venom, it's a symbiote suit, but made of just like oops all Voldos. You know? Like all Voldos with a little bit of Cervante.
Where's, you know, Ivy? Yeah.
Yeah. it's really ugly art.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Hard to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In it. You know, I can't tell the outlines of anything. Like, where does the background begin with this character and where does the foreground?
It's very begin. Concept art. And like you could say, yeah, oh, they're going for like an Amano kind of thing. Amano was real desaturated, like it was real watercolory and stuff like that. Like it was much easier to discern what was happening in that.
And Amano doesn't have like a lot of big backgrounds.
Yes.
Amano, like a lot of characters, like float in space. Yes. You know, so you can tell their silhouette pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like I can imagine this being fine if I spent a bunch of time on it. Like this is a weird game, like as far as Abject Suffering games.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody's like, hey, any of the Abject Suffering games, you have to be on a desert island and that's the only game you have.
Mm-hmm.
This would probably be pretty up there.
Yeah, just especially from a Desert Island perspective. Let me do a print on this and see the one fact. You know, there are a few facts for this, but there's one of them here. Yep, no, it is still loading the preview. Still loading the preview. Yeah. 206 sheets of paper to print the fact.
Yeah, like it's deep, you know. And I know, like I watched some people play this online after I, you know, bounced off it, not being able to make any headway.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there's like red mode, which is the normal mode, but there's all these other modes and it's your score at the end of every level. And there's a good ending. Like yeah, there's, you know, yeah, different degrees of ending you can get, but mm-hmm, like, there'd be reasons to replay this.
Yeah. If there were not infinite other games to play, I could see sitting down with this and like learning to see the wireframe. And who knows, maybe the story gets good. Maybe it subverts itself beyond just what we see in the start of it. Yeah.
Apparently the story is told chronologically, like both ways. Like you see things from the future and the past.
I thought that was,
and it doesn't necessarily tell you.
I thought that was just a terrible sentence in the Wikipedia. There are some Wikipedia.
I've seen it elsewhere.
The story in Knights is told in both forward and reverse fashion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's
so how is this a tool album or a video game?
the Zyreka, like the Flaming Lips present Knights in the Nightmare. Apparently that is how it actually works, which is pretty bonkers.
It's probably fine. Probably fine.
I'm just not gonna, you know, I don't know. It's just, again, for this show.
Yes.
For this show, it's not a good suggestion because I don't, you know. This episode might end up eventually getting good, but I don't I don't have anything to say about this because I couldn't, it is impenetrable. I couldn't get into
it. I wanted, you
know,
to,
in a literal sense.
Yeah. I wanted to get in, to get to at least the shmup sections, because this, when the person suggested this, and this was suggested by Jamie. Thank you, Jamie, for backing mm-hmm. us.
Thank you, Jamie.
Sorry, we are criticizing your choices, but you know what you've done.
Yeah. We still love you.
Yeah. But just in the suggestion here says bullet hell with faint RPG elements and absolutely no explanation. Like that led me to think, this will be like a shmup that has some character customization or whatever. Cool. Not this very, very strange touch control only strategy game. I never got to the shmup section. And I was kind of hungry for a shmup this afternoon. Yeah,
I would have been fine playing a shmup.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been fine. There was that Game Boy Advance shoot 'em up RPG, Sigma Star. Did you ever play Sigma Star?
No, I did not.
That is a shoot 'em up RPG hybrid on the Game Boy Advance that I remember being pretty neat.
Yeah.
You know, but it was not not like this. Like it was
not like this.
It was very, very direct, just like those two parts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, kind of more bolted on rather than trying to find like a fusion.
Mm-hmm.
Of the two things.
Yeah, yeah. Made by WayForward.
Yeah.
But before WayForward got good.
Yeah. They're neat, if I recall.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got like this will be difficult to talk about. This is going to push our tangent abilities to the limit. it's like the very first episode that turned the show into what it was all mm-hmm. over again.
All right.
But one thing before we got into that I wanted to say is that something that this made me think of, and I don't know that we're on the same page with this. It's okay if you're not, but this really cemented something that's been floating around in my head for a while.
Okay.
And came to a head during this and then doing Shattered Memories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like any Nintendo alternative control methods ever.
Okay.
I never want to play another one of them again. Like some of them are fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they never, I would rather just push a button and control my little thing.
Yeah, no, I think that I generally agree with you. I think that the world agrees with you because motion controls not really around anymore.
Yeah.
Really. Like there's some hints of that on the Switch, but even that with the addition, with the creation of the new Switch, the Switch Lite, that's kind of going away. No, I'm down with it. Yeah, I think that I'm there. You know, we had a decade. Yeah. Like there was a decade for them to try and get this right and nail it. But yeah, no, yeah. I'm yeah. So with this one, like
I think,
it's
I think
done.
We, like good. We lost our mind during that decade.
Yeah,
like and like remember when Wii Sports was just like everyone's conception of what a video game is.
Yeah, and what it would always be in the future.
Yeah, and it's like those games are fine. Like it's not like it made me think I was talking to Will about it. When you're getting here, because I thought I remembered Will plays all the Entering Odyssey games. He is more in the pocket for the 2010 DS, like ambitious RPG.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of zone. Like this was a real era.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I think Will's a Knights of the Nightmare guy. I should ask him to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not actually, he's done like a bunch. He's like, I've done like 10 battles. I've never been able to get into it. I think it's neat, but I can't get into it.
Yeah.
But that made us, we started talking about this because this is controlled entirely through the stylus on the DS version. And it was just like the idea of like those Wii Sports things, like they are fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's fun to do it, but that is different to me than like a good game. It's like to me it is and Will doesn't agree with me and be fine if other people don't as well. But it's a different kind of fun. Like the fun of a novel movement input is different than the fun of a good video game.
Yeah.
And they're often, not always, but often one is at the detriment of another.
I mean, for me, like, I just, when I'm playing an incredibly good video game, the thing in my hands disappears, whereas something that is setting itself up like this to be stylus only, to be motion control only, et cetera, it is kind of constantly reminding me of what stands between me and the game. Not like perfect immersion is always the thing, but like just I want, just to, for something to be tight, it has to be as easy as possible and as invisible as possible to translate intent into action. And buttons
intuitive.
Just do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the word you're looking for is like intuitive.
Yes.
And the reason why like a control pad and buttons are intuitive is because that's how you play video games your entire life.
Yes.
And you can't like, you can say like, oh, in Wii Bowling, the motion of moving your Wii remote is the same as rolling a bowling ball. And like, that's maybe true. I mean, it's closer to true than
broadly,
not true, but it's not the same. It, broadly, but it is pretty silly, mm-hmm. but that can't compete with the fact that I held a Atari controller when I was six
mm-hmm.
and it had a joystick and a button. you know, a little thing to move my guy and a button to do an action. And I've been doing that since for 33 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's never like that intuitive. Like, I think it works with Rock Band because they actually do map onto instruments like really pretty well.
Yeah.
And they're good games on top of it.
Yeah.
But like Wii Bowling is a bad game. It's really inconsistent. Like, it's really hard to consistently perform in that game, I found.
Yeah.
And I just had that sense where it's like, yeah, the stylus thing is just, it feels just novel more than anything. Like, it doesn't feel like it is adding to the game.
And there are good games that have relied on the stylus. I'm thinking primarily of Kirby Canvas Curse, which I think slaps.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That is Will brought that up as well. That is a popular one. I don't think I played very much of that. Mm-hmm. I always have a thing with the stylus where if I have to be looking at what's on the stylus screen, I have to position my hands in an uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not never really comfortable for me. It happens on iOS all the time too. Like,
yeah.
If a game is I have to tap something, great. Or if I can move my finger off the action, like I move my finger up and to the right, but it controls link to the left. So I play like Desert Golf or something.
Yeah.
That's perfect. But if I have to actually move around an avatar by dragging it around, you've lost me.
Yeah.
Basically.
That kind of touch, you know, that kind of touch control, you know, there are ways to design that well, and there have been good games built around that. I think that is probably the way that, you know, probably the one takeaway. We did all of this bullshit in that decade and everything else winnowed away. Like when was the last time you even played a phone game that relied on tilt?
Yeah. And
like,
when it does,
like probably like Ridiculous Fishing was the last one I played that relied on tilt.
And like Ridiculous Fishing is fun. Mm-hmm. It's good. Is it like, I still wasn't like, yeah, this is awesome because of tilt.
Right.
Like, if I was controlling that with a joystick or with an analog stick, I would have also dug the game.
Yeah.
Like, there's on the Apple Arcade, I downloaded a bunch of those things. And one of them, you know, as soon as you got out of the tutorial, it was like, look around. And I had to actually move my phone around.
Uh-oh.
And immediately uninstalled. I'm like, this is dumb as hell. I don't know if I'm going to do this.
That is like just a close second behind here is an on-screen D-pad and buttons.
Yeah. Which is also like intolerable. Yeah. Man, like the on my old iPad or iPod that I brought to Milwaukee Gaming Classic, I have that Silent Hill game, and that is a look around using your phone game.
I tried playing it and it wasn't that fun.
It just feels like dog shit. Like, it just feels so bad. A controller and buttons just work.
Yeah.
Like, it just works.
Yeah. You know, just you tried to take the wrong kind of game and put it on the wrong kind of system.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe it's like you trying it. It took a bunch of people trying it and failing to learn that, but
like thousands and thousands of people trying it. Well, and it's not only is it just like the wrong kind of thing. I think that it's not just, you know, hey, there are control methods that are all perfectly valid if you have the right game. It's like, well, there are fewer games that work. Almost everything will work with a control pad and buttons.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to think of what wouldn't.
So
whereas this other it's like a squares and rectangles thing.
This is the point where I start to like wonder how hidebound we are, because, you know, like with Bionicles or like with any of the other things, if we ask someone who is 10 years younger than me, you know, if we ask somebody who is 20 right now, what their opinion was on this, they might have a completely different point of view. And it's a little bit like
playing Fortnite and shit, though. Like, they're all playing stuff with controllers.
Yeah,
and
but they're fucking playing Fortnite on their phones, Gary.
Some of them are.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. But
because it's the one computer that they have and they always have access to.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. You know, it feels a little bit like, oh, kids today don't write in cursive anymore. And today's version of that is kids today don't know how to type anymore.
No, I mean, yeah. Kind of, though. But those like kids, like thousands of those kids are just playing, you know, Overwatch and Fortnite on a PlayStation 2, you know, on a computer and everything as well. Like, it is a squares and rectangles thing. Like, I think you're right that it's probably something that there is an age difference with those interfaces, but it is undeniable that Fortnite control is just fine with a controller and, you know, or a mouse and keyboard or however kids are playing it, and kids still play it that way. It can also work on touchscreen, but Rocket League doesn't. You know, like, there's still like there's other things that just kind of don't. It's still like there's a difference there, even if the difference is like partially age correlated.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm heartened by the fact that like no console developer is really trying to force that issue anymore. The exception is VR.
Yeah.
But even stuff that is in VR that has like force feedback and stuff, and those controllers have buttons on them anyway.
They're largely just controllers.
Yes.
You know, at this point, it's just you hold two of them. Like the Wiimote and Nunchuck, when you weren't pointing things was just a controller.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you play through Mario Galaxy basically with it just as a controller.
God, that's a comfortable controller.
Yeah, like just holding the two bits like that is pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
like it takes a little while for that to melt into my hands because of the positioning.
Yeah,
you know, doing the two left hand buttons.
Oh,
you know, the pointer finger and the middle finger as that, like, and then not being like, I don't really switch between, you know, like holding a button over both of them. It's a little bit like driving with your foot over the gas and the brake.
Oh yeah.
It feels a little bit, but
yeah, no, it leads to a much more natural posture for me. Although it is more difficult to take notes. Actually,
yeah.
I was playing Silent Hill and like I was getting tangled up in the cord. I was like garroting myself, trying to put that thing down to take notes.
If people had followed that that kind of control thing, we'd eventually just have wireless ones, like we have VR.
Yeah, we do, like that's what Joy-Cons are.
Yeah,
I guess when you're playing it.
What game uses Joy-Cons?
I don't know, like just
Super Clips.
That's
that punching one.
Well, no, like just if you are just playing like you know, that's how I did Breath of the Wild. Was, you know, most of the time I played that docked, so I could take notes on it. And just hold one in your left hand, one in your right hand.
Held the two wands?
Yeah, you just hold the two wands and it works.
You didn't do it. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah,
I can't imagine.
I like that better than the pro controller.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I couldn't imagine playing a docked Switch without just doing the pro controller.
Yeah. No, so, you just hold the two of them and it works great.
Huh.
For me anyway, I don't know. I doubt that I would enjoy doing anything that used an actual D-pad on that, but
yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway, it's just like Nintendo's weird, like we've got to solve this problem that isn't a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing that I don't get mildly irritated about. Yeah. They kind of came up in this game. Like, it's not terrible in this game, you know, moving your thing, but I definitely, my hand was occluding the screen.
Yeah.
So I ended up playing this on my little flash cart.
Hmm.
And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I played it with a mouse on the, I did an emulator.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I had this on my flash cart from when I first got my flash cart and just downloaded every interesting Yes ROM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in case I wanted to try them at any point. And this was on there because this was that period.
God, I did that too. This was back when Emu Paradise had complete system collections of games. This is back when Emu Paradise had any games at all really on it. And I was just in the process of downloading them over the course of like a week because they were big files on the DS and the Game Boy Advance. And I had a few of them going when I was at work, and our like system administrator guy came to me and said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, I said, downloading some very big source files for a video. And he's like, "Yeah, you're going to need to stop because your IP address is taking up all of the bandwidth." I didn't want to tell him I'm stealing software on company time and equipment.
I'm stealing Knights in the Nightmare.
Yeah, the Knights in the Nightmare
router. Got me.
Yeah,
yeah, the Knights of the Router Table. They got me. I'm in the Nightmare now.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one of those things where there are game facts things, but there's just a billion things. It's a well thought of cult classic.
Yeah, yeah. People really enjoy it. Like I said, you know, the one fact is 200 and something pages printed out, which is ridiculous. And there's nothing really funny in it. Just kind of seems like a lot of people very earnestly documenting this intricate game for people who, you know, are interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
There's only one negative review by Altmaterializer X.
Okay.
The review is called, and the only reason why I called it out is because the review is talking about how certain things don't go together. And he goes, steak and chocolate, sugar and gasoline, drinking and driving. And like one, I mean, dude, steak and chocolate actually do go, you know, go to a better restaurant.
Yeah.
You'll find a chef that does some kind of weird coffee or chocolate thing with steak and you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. And then just I like this opening sentence: putting two good things together won't always yield a good result, as Knights in the Nightmare will show you. Which I just like that sentence. Yeah. But yeah, he says it is unplayable, which was functionally the same thing I felt about it, even though that's not probably, you know, the opinion I would die on, or if I was on a desert island or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was unplayable for my purposes.
Yeah. Like, if I had 3 hours to sit down and put into it of, like, dedicated, focused learning time, that's just not what we budget for this show.
No. Like, what would be the, you know, like, we could, mm-hmm. but what would be the, you know, and I'm sure there are people who are just like, we hear that and they're just like, oh, you just like just didn't do due diligence. And it's like, well, yeah, I know, but we do 6 of these a month. And, you know, we didn't, going into this, it is, I've had this weird feeling of like, very mild frustration sometimes. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it before when we will get feedback, like when we got feedback on this show and people were just like, you guys need to talk about the games more.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this weird sense where I'm like, oh, you don't get it. And it's mm-hmm. not because what we're doing is complicated.
Right.
It's not like you don't get it because, oh, this is, you know, a 43 minute long Brian Eno soundscape and you don't get it.
Yeah, no, it's actually very dumb.
It's extremely dumb. But the show would not be like, the things you like about the show wouldn't happen
mm-hmm.
with that degree of with that kind of intentionality.
Right.
Like there is a freestyle nature to this show. Same thing that like happens to Everything to Guppy. Like somebody was upset because one of the episodes was too long. And I was like, yeah, sometimes it takes too long to find like the stuff we find. If we sat down and we like set a timer, or if we were like, this has to be this long, like
mm-hmm.
it might be a more professional production, but we wouldn't actually get to the places that we get to. And this feels the same kind of thing to me. It's like, yes, we could give this, it's like total fair shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and put in our 3 hours and really understand it and break it down, but it wouldn't be the show. It's not what the thing is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it is, it's okay if you don't want that. And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that thing that we do is necessarily great or good or smart. It's just, it's what it is.
Yeah.
You can take it or you can not take it. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
You know, it's okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like anybody who has listened to enough episodes of the show will understand what we talk about. You know, putting in the half hour, things like that.
You think that.
Yeah.
But it's just the, agreed. So when's the last time you had a good pizza pie, Cole?
a good pizza pie?
Yeah. What was your last good pizza pie? What's in the news lately?
let me wrestle the front page of this newspaper.
Yeah. Here. What's been going on?
There is so one town over, there is a pizza place called Baker's Pizza that does a pretty good pizza pie. Mm-hmm. The big bummer about it is that it's not actually very good the next day.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of just that rare pizza that doesn't keep. So the best way to enjoy it is to actually eat it at the restaurant with enough people to finish it off. Because, you know, if you do like I sometimes do, you know, order the pizza and go over there and pick it up and bring it back, you know, because you buy a pizza and that's like 3 meals, you know, that's dinner tonight. That is. And then lunch for the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You were on the same. You're a 3-slice man.
Just for about, a pizza meal.
I'm a 3-slicer.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 is the normal number of pizza slices I want to
eat. Because 4 ends up getting into like a half slice or had like the half of the pizza pie.
That's a little bit too much. Psychologically,
yeah,
it's a problem. And then also just like I don't feel good when I eat pizza anymore.
No. it makes my poop sick the next day. So
yeah, extremely sick. It makes it like it. I'm like holding my poop up in a swaddled bundle and presenting it to passersby as if they
please
can help it.
Help my poop is sick.
it's no good. It makes me want to swaddle that shit. It is no good. So I can't, and I think it's the dairy. I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
But it just wrecks me. So 3 slices is not only like I feel like an appropriate amount of food mm-hmm. that doesn't make me feel like a super glutton,
mm-hmm.
but also it is all I can handle without like feeling like I'm gonna die.
Yeah. No, it's probably the dairy for me because it's how I feel after I eat like any amount of ice cream bigger than like a small cone or a small blizzard. Yeah,
ice cream fucks me up now too.
Yeah, and like I've never had problems with dairy in the past, although maybe I have and I just haven't identified that dairy was the problem.
Yeah,
and I'm just being more mindful about what I eat now, but I don't know.
You thought you Munchausen by dairy. Like just something was making me sick. And I don't know what it was.
Emphasis on the munch.
Yeah. Munchausen. I think that I have developed a lactose intolerance.
Yeah.
Like I stopped drinking. I still put cream in my coffee, but I stopped drinking cow's milk because I'm mm-hmm. not a villain on a modern horror movie. Like
you're not a McBoyle.
Yeah, not a McPoyle. I'm not going to drink a glass of milk. what is that? Why do they even sell that? They sell tons of it. It's weird.
Yeah. It's the most economical way to buy it. I could get a quart of milk for $2, or I could get a gallon of milk for $2.10.
Makes no sense. What are you going to do with it?
pour it down the drain?
Yeah, just like through your wounds. Yeah, it's so weird. Like I can see it in cooking or something, but
yeah.
But the I don't do that. So it's just cheese. Then it's giving me this dairy stuff and ice mm-hmm. cream, yeah. And it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
For me. So it's kind of fucked up some pizza pies for me.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Well, what's the last good pizza pie you've had?
Well, I had a pizza pie recently, but it wasn't that great. Mm. There's a place called Slice that had a Grubhub promotion. And I decided to take advantage of it because it was ended up being cheap and not like I hate my life Domino's cheap, which I've definitely been there before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, the guy who fucks pizzas is making your pizza cheap.
You know? Daniel, the man who fucks pizzas.
Yeah, yeah, it's no good. Yeah, so I wasn't feeling that much self-hatred. I was just feeling a little bit of self-hatred.
Yeah.
So I got some pizza and it was fine. Mm-hmm. I got pepperoni and basil, which I think is a good combo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But it also had the thing where it wasn't very good the next day. Mm-hmm. And I ate that in three sittings and all three of them made me feel, real sick.
Yeah.
Like made my poop sick and just my stomach. Like I just felt like it was real weird. It like expanded in my belly. Like I'd eaten a bunch of dough and then eaten a yeast packet.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like I yesterday got up, had breakfast, went about my day a little bit. Like we recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the doctor. We didn't record yesterday. Got up, went about my day, went to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
came home, ate some pizza, and I ate breakfast at like 10 and had pizza at 4. And that was like the only thing I ate because it just kept expanding in my stomach. Like I just felt like I was going to eventually just like sneeze and just a bunch of fucking Fun Factory dough. I was going to leak like an uzumaki, like out every surface of my face of just pizza dough.
Yeah. I mean, it's real. I mean, like I'm discovering there is just this whole category of food, primarily junk food, that it's like, oh, like I'm full, I'm stuffed actually, but I don't feel sated. I just kind of feel like somebody hit me over the head.
Yeah, I feel extremely sick. Like I feel like somebody has put like a bowling ball in my stomach.
Yeah,
and like, just a horrible way.
You know, it's a little bit like the difference between going to a restaurant and getting the fries as the side versus the baked potato. I on one hand it could be like, man, I wish I could just eat without complication, but on the other hand, I don't know, my body's telling me stuff and I'm actually able to understand it and it's leading me to make what feels like better decisions, so that's fine, I guess.
I wish my body talked to me more when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like in a pretty bad way, because when I was younger, it never did.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could just like, I'll have, there's no food in the house, but there are three, dilly bars.
there is a bag of croutons.
Yeah, dude, I have had a shameful amount of crouton meals. Like, don't even joke.
Pour it in a bowl. I'll call it croute brute.
Eat some croute brutes. Yeah. I've definitely had some crudité, by which I mean straight croutons.
Yeah.
Like garlic Parmesan flavor.
Texas toast Caesar. Don't mind if I do.
So I've definitely done some crouton meals or some frozen waffles with peanut butter meals.
I mean, honestly, like just the people who make croutons should do a service to humanity and just make it so that the croutons go just as fast, go bad just as fast as the salad greens do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Or just make them smaller.
Yeah, yeah.
A crouton doesn't need to be like the size of a Duplo block. No, but they always are.
Yeah.
But when I was younger, though, you could just do that. I was like, I'm just going to eat a bag of croutons. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. Or like I would go to when I first discovered hummus, I got real into it.
Yeah.
And for lunch, I would go when I worked overnight at the dispatch place, the tow truck dispatch place. Like me and Derek would go to Walmart. The super Walmart to get lunch, mm-hmm. and oftentimes buy video games and look at the games and stuff.
Yeah.
And buy Maxim magazine because I was fucking 20 or whatever.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would just get a thing of hummus, like a pot of Athena hummus,
mm-hmm.
and then a pack of pitas and just eat that. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. And I wouldn't feel like garbage.
Right.
Like I was depressed because of course I was, but I wasn't depressed. I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
You know, but now I feel sick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, most of the time, you know, like most foods will do that to me. And I've tried like cutting gluten. I've tried cutting dairy. I've tried doing all these cuts and nothing really happens. And yeah. also food is one of the only like pure pleasures of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it is an uncomplicated pleasure mm-hmm. in the moment.
Yeah.
It's cultural. It's like a social activity. Like food is great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just sucks that like my body started talking to me and I want to shut it the fuck up. And just like you eat that fucking crouton.
You waited 35 years to start chiming in. Like yeah. you don't get to say now.
You don't have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
You know,
hey there, like, Johnny come lately, body come lately.
Yeah, body come lately. Like it is not time for you to start complaining about croutons now. Yeah.
No, when I was 22, all my body told me was, hey, maybe don't drink as much next time, buddy. But like yeah. now that I'm 32, it's like, yeah, you know, just like I'm going to help you learn to eat like an adult. I'm like, at 32? Come on.
It is too late for me.
Yeah.
Like, I've
given up. Go on. I'll just slow you down.
Yeah. Like, we don't have that relationship with each other. We have a different relationship with each other, body.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think this is, but your body is the ultimate deadbeat dad. You know, it's like coming up trying to like, you know, it hasn't paid child support your entire life, but it wants to do this deathbed repentance, you know?
Last weekend, so every year, Chris and I, we go to Red Lobster for the Endless Shrimp, okay?
This is very cute.
What's that?
It's very cute.
That every year we go to Red Lobster for Endless Shrimp?
Yeah. Yeah. Will does that too. He has a shrimp thing. And you know, what's funny, just not to cut you off, but just as a little side note.
Okay.
I have tried to obliquely hint that I would like to go with him.
Oh yeah.
Thing for years. And he's never invited me. I don't know why. I just like, yeah, that sounds fun. I go to shrimp thing with you. Yeah. You know, I've been really, it's not even oblique. Like, that sounds fun. I do that with you.
And he just doesn't.
And he just doesn't do it. And I'm like, why don't you want to take your shrimp thing, buddy?
Why can't I do shrimp thing?
Yeah, why do you think I don't like shrimp or something? Because I assure you I do.
Yeah.
Like, it's very funny to me. And I'm sure if I actually brought it up in those terms, I was like, hey man, why can't I come to shrimp thing?
Yeah.
He would be like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, you know, or he would tell me the terrifying truth. You know, like like that's a code.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like there is no shrimp thing.
It's the name of to see a movie.
Yeah. Or it's the name of a yacht that's off that he goes to, like
it's the cannibalism yacht. Thing.
Yeah, exactly. And the shrimps are actually, you know, young disenfranchised people.
Scrawny dudes. Yeah.
That's scrawny dudes to get eaten.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing it for cannibalism, not pedophilia. Don't be gross people.
It's funny, not sad.
Yeah, it's not funny. Yeah. But anyway, so you have this relationship with Will that I don't.
No, I don't have this relationship with Will. It's me and my brother. And this goes back to like high school times. And mm-hmm. like back, you know, back when I was in high school, like 17 or 18. I mean, like we would try and close the place down. It was, okay. It was me and a group of like, let's say seven shrimp other people. Species. Yes. And it was like, we wanted them to ask us to leave basically just plate after plate. They would try and take away the empty plates. Like, no, we're stacking our dead as an example.
Yeah.
You know, sure. This big mound of tails, you know, here in the middle. Obscene amounts of shrimp. Nowadays, though, like we would go and, you know, I'd get just, you know, I'll have a side salad with a little bit of oil and vinegar and, you know, I'll skip the fried stuff. Can I just get the grilled garlic shrimp? Thank you. Ooh, I will try this Nashville hot one for my next order. Yeah.
Yeah.
And get three orders of shrimp.
Yeah.
And
how many shrimps in an order, bro?
How many shrimps are in an order? Anywhere between 5 and 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. So we probably, I mean, it was a big meal with, you know, once you count the Cheddar Bay biscuit and once you count the salad and the baked potato and stuff. And it's like, you know, I felt like I got my money's worth. It was sated. I had a good variety of shrimp, et cetera. The waitresses, they didn't believe us that we wanted to go.
That we're like, because of your history? was there a picture of you on the wall inside the shrimp tank to like scare them?
Like, we did call in advance and say, hey, be ready for us. No, we didn't do that.
Call it a goal threat?
No, I think it's because we're both two bigger gentlemen. But no, just like we just had like, you know, three orders a piece and like, hey, we're going to go. We had to ask for our check like three times. And it's like, okay, if you're not stereotyping us based on our size, you have to be doing something like there have to be more people coming in and just like putting this machine on tilt.
Yeah, they don't get paid by the shrimp they get rid of.
That is what I thought they were.
Yeah, like racking up shrimp totes. Just
like turning in the tails for the tail deposit. 5 cents a piece. Bounty hunter.
Like ears. Yeah. There's a bounty on shrimp.
Yeah.
It's still, we talked about this before with buffets.
Oh yeah.
We're
yeah.
like at a buffet, if I go to one, I go up twice, but both times it's like 2/3 of an order and then I have to call it.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was younger, it was like, yeah, let's go fucking ape shit.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, when you're younger and poorer, buffets are about quantity. When you're older and, you know, not necessarily as food insecure, it's like the secret is variety, right?
A variety.
Yeah.
Yeah, and experiencing like a food that I don't have all that often. Like, it's not super exotic, but like I like to go to an Indian buffet because I don't eat any food enough to like remember what everything tastes like remember everything that I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm gonna get a little bit of everything, and then whatever is, like, really hit the spot.
Yeah.
We should save some of this digressive energy for the next episode, which I also have nothing to say anything about. But we landed there. I'm glad we got there eventually.
Yeah.
just gonna keep in mind shrimps.
Shrimps.
For next episode, the shrimp duology. thank you for recommending this game. We're sorry that we made fun of your choice. You know what you did, but we still love you. It is hard to do backdoor wafts on this show.
Yes.
Because every once in a while you get a contradiction and we'll actually like play it. But that was never going to be the case with Knights in the Nightmare.
No.
Is obtuse.
Yep. It's a lot.
Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV if you like the show.
Yeah. If you give $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of the show. If you do $10, you get approaching like 80 extra episodes of this show, plus a whole run of other things like Adaptation Decay, Unfilmable, Premium Wafts. We think it's a good deal.
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts are appreciated.
Yeah. Mail me shrimp.
Yeah, and mail Cole some shrimp.
Don't mail me shrimp.
Just the tails.
Once you, so you can mail me some tails at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C.
That's pretty good. I think we came up with our sign off.
Okay.
Mail me some tails. Mail me some tails at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Umbasa.